This is like one day after Mike Muscala's dad said like massively racist things about like Jimmy Butler or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mike Muscala literally had to apologize in the last 24 hours because his dad said like Jimmy Butler was like a classic example of like African-American attitude problem.
Wow, I'm surprised the Mavericks didn't try to go after Mike Muscala.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
Hello, welcome to Full Court Mess, podcast covering the hottest basketball news, hottest basketball takes, hottest posts. We delve online each week and find the worst and the best that we've seen from the social media and anything else basketball related that we want to talk about. I am your local Warriors fan, Jared.
I am a resident Nikola Mirotic trade supporter, Joe.
And I have totally given up on the concept of basketball entirely. I'm Will, and I'm here.
And that is the show. Just kidding.
I'm waving into the microphone right now.
Well, let's start today, since it's a big week. The deadline was today, day of recording, 7th February. We're going to just go through the list of trades that have happened in the past week. And if we think that we're talking about, we'll talk about them. And if not, we'll say, okay.
And I'm actually going to kick us off. One of these days, I'll actually remember that to do the Enlightenment take on time. I think this will get us in the right frame of mind for all you fans out there who have new players to root for. You've got some favorites, maybe some new favorites, some old ones being shipped out. This should put you in the right frame of mind for when you think about your favorite player. This is a real oldie. Comes from someone supposedly named Matt Lowray, posting to his Facebook group Real NBA Talk, which led us in there. That sounds good. And it's a picture of LeBron James and LeBron James's mother together. It says, "As a man, it's crossed my mind numerous times how privileged it must feel to carry a king in your belly for 9 months and call yourself his mother. I can only imagine how sad it must have been to see that umbilical cord cut and be separated from LeBron. I'm proud to be a man, but this is one of the few instances where I can say that I wish I could be the one to carry this man for 9 months and provide a home and food for him within me, then call myself the mother of a king. Fellas, do you ever wish the same for your favorite player, or do y'all just have no respect for them at all?"
Oh man.
So think on that while you consider your favorite players at this 2019 trade deadline.
We could have just done an episode based around this single post.
Or do y'all just have no respect for them at all?
Fellas, you ever feel like you want to carry your favorite player in your womb? Or do you not respect the game?
How do we start after this? I guess we'll start with the biggest trade of the week, which really was the first big trade of the week since our last episode. Talk about Dennis Smith Jr. And that's it.
Yeah. Son of mine, and son of yours, maybe. I have a thought. Does what team a player is on affect how much you like them? Like, as we've talked about players that are sons to us before, players that we just love for non-basketball reasons or maybe basketball reasons. Dennis Smith Jr. is a son of mine. He's one of my point guards on my son roster. But him being on the Knicks, I don't know how I'm still coming to terms with this. I don't know how you guys feel about this situation.
I have a pretty firm rule that the team they're on can affect them, but only positively. They'll never go down. But perhaps if they're on a team that played a really fun style or had a really fun personality, maybe they'll go up. maybe someone who's not a Sun could become a Sun by being on a certain team, but they'll never be hurt by it. I would never have a Sun go to, say, like the Lakers and me think less of him in any way.
I think I'm on the same boat. Like, I feel like I can enjoy Dennis Smith Jr. more now because he's no longer on the Mavericks.
I think I feel the opposite. I feel like I wish he was still on the Mavericks, and now I'm a little bit bummed that he's on the Knicks. I've just never been a Knicks fan, personally.
I don't like them, but I'm kind of excited about him just like in that jersey. And that, yeah, some of that is so purely aesthetics, like the Mavs have like the worst jerseys in the league type thing. So I mean that somewhat literally. But I think it should just be fun, and his highlights will be so much bigger because they're in New York.
That's true.
That's true.
Like, he's like a Showtime style player.
And he's really gonna like have like the reins, at least for the rest of this season, to just like ball out, basically. So,
and if he does anything remotely cool, he'll get like a cult dedicated to him, which is always fun for a Sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's especially healthy in New York.
There's a couple of great takes around this trade, but one that flew by me just as I was scrolling through the TL today was someone who said, yo, I cannot wait to see DSJ and Emmanuel Mudiay run the show for the rest of this year. And then someone quoted saying, like, you were the only person on Earth who was thinking this.
I mean, hey, some people have low expectations. That's fine.
Hey, when I heard that tandem announced, I could just think, that's a big Mudiay.
I gotta say that I do kudos to that whoever said the original take, because that's a great way to watch basketball. Like, I think the unhealthy way to watch basketball is like, oh, we better win it all this year, it's going to be terrible. Like, maybe your team's so good that that's fine, but man, if you're psyched about the idea of DSJ and Mudiay just running your team for half a year, if that's like, oh, I can't wait, you must have so much fun watching basketball. Like, everything must be fun.
Sure, that sounds like pretty damn healthy.
Yeah, like somebody, like, teams are just dunking on the court, and this guy's just like, man, this rules. I love this.
At least these two guys are out here.
That's pretty much what being a Bucks fan was up until this year. Like, it was pretty much just like, man, Giannis is really good, and maybe someday we'll get there, but this is fun. Like, that was how I felt anyway. Like, yeah, we're not going to get those big free agents, but man, Giannis is fun, and, you know, maybe Michael Carter-Williams will be something. Oh, no, he's not. Okay, anyway, Giannis is fun.
Mine is more of a, you know, maybe in 5 years or so, Yusuf Senin will come over from overseas, and if he has one highlight, this will all be worth it.
Amen. Amen, brother.
True.
On the other side of things, we got one, a user-submitted take from Zilcho, L. Cresswell, friend of the show, from Mike Wilbon, who sincerely believes now that the Knicks are too good to tank.
They got significantly worse than they already were.
So maybe we should get into the rest of this trade, since we've only named Dennis Smith. The headline of this trade. Mavericks, we'll start who the Mavericks acquire. Kristaps Porzingis, who that day, they said, or that night before, requested a trade. Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, Trey Burke. Knicks acquire DSJ, DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, two future first-round picks.
Wes Matthews has already been bought out and is going to sign with the Pacers.
And Mike Wilbon's instantaneous take was, bye-bye Zion, the Knicks are too good to tank anymore.
Well, it's more bye-bye Zion, the winning the lottery doesn't mean anything anymore. That's more the...
Yeah, like, if you have the worst record, you've got a 14% shot. Good luck.
Yeah. Like they're gonna lose the lottery because they only had a 14% chance to win it, even with the worst record. And everyone's gonna be like, "This is rigged. Nobody wanted Zion in New York. The big wigs, David Stern is behind this."
Also, we have to revisit with this trade the Bill Simmons take when he said that the current trade inefficiency was okay players on long deals, which didn't make any sense at all. But his example was the Mavs should trade for Tim Hardaway Jr.
Well,
I don't think he predicted that Kristaps would also be in the trade and multiple.
He was just a throw-in. He was just an add-on, quick on the end. He's hurt anyway. Whatever, just take him.
It basically was for the Knicks. It was almost a salary dump until we learned that they were actually getting two good first-round picks back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have space for two, almost either two or almost two max deals this offseason.
I think it is two max. Two max deals.
I think they got there. They bought out Enos Kanter too.
Yeah.
So or released him or whatever.
This has been argued on every basketball show and platform and shit, but with this money, can they attract a free agent? Like because of no their recent history of just terrible ownership and management?
They'd have to get two.
Yeah.
Because if they only get one, who are they going to play with?
DSJ.
Big Moutier.
There it is. Like, that's all that's left. Like, there are no good players on that team.
No. I don't see DeAndre Jordan staying there.
I mean, there's a lot of talk about people who, like, everyone thinks the league thinks that KD is a sure thing to the Knicks. Which, KD's whole thing is sometimes being, like, making decisions that no one else understands, but I'm not sure I understand that move for him if he does it this summer. But everyone sure thinks that the league is sure that's going to happen.
I think it's more likely he'd go to the Nets.
Yeah, like that one would make much more basketball sense.
Yeah.
But
like he can still lead the team and he can win.
Dog, if
and
the Nets
are like an up and coming young team.
Yeah.
If the Nets get Kevin Durant and then the Clippers get Kawhi in the offseason, how great would that be just to shove it in the face of the Lakers?
Oh, man. I would love that. That'd be so fun.
The Clippers are putting themselves in a good spot for big free agents this summer. They're also going to be able to sign like two guys.
Yeah.
And they are a much more attractive situation than the floundering Knicks.
I think the Clippers are the most likely spot for Kawhi if he doesn't stay in Toronto, which I don't know. Doesn't seem that likely to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is having no knowledge of watching any of their games all season, but we're LA Clippers seems more likely to me.
Joe's hearing from his sources that Kawhi will not stay in Toronto.
Just my own feelings. The only things I'm sure of are that Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are both going to not be on their current teams next year. I don't know where they're going, but Durant's not staying in Golden State.
That's our first full court mess certified guarantee.
Yeah.
Predictions.
Take it to the bank, but don't cash the check yet. You gotta wait. You gotta wait a few weeks until
I haven't been paid recently, so
I have not been paid, nor do I have my credentials yet.
Speaking of sources, what happened to Chris Broussard?
Damn. I don't.
What do you mean?
I haven't heard his name in like a year.
That's the first time I've heard his name. Is you asking?
Like, did he get fired? Like, I assume he doesn't
Where
work
is
for anybody
he?
Anymore. But he was just like, he was just doing his thing wrong all the time, and then he was like really homophobic for a while, and then I never heard from him ever again.
That's fine based on that.
Don't get me wrong, I'm good with it, but I'm surprised.
Stephen A. Smith just absorbed all of his work, like just like everyone at ESPN. He's on every show. He has takes about everything. There's that quote of him saying James Harden is the best player in football. He's got no sleep, and he's on every show, and he's an expert on every sport.
His Twitter says that he still works for Fox.
Fascinating.
He's the co-host of The Odd Couple radio show and podcast.
And we all listen to that.
Oh, he's not on ESPN anymore. That's why we haven't heard of him. From him.
He's at Fox with our buddy Wilbon. We'll get, or not Wilbon, Whitlock. Sorry.
Whitlock.
We'll get to Whitlock later. I have quite the take from him.
Ooh, what a cliffhanger. Let's get to some more trades. Yeah. I'm ready to talk more trades.
I'm excited to spend 10 to 15 minutes on every trade.
Yeah.
You ready for a 5-hour podcast?
February 1st. The Bulls acquired, I'm going to butcher this, but Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrú.
Cabarrú. Yeah, all right.
I think I said that okay enough. And cash considerations for 2020 second round pick, probably not worth discussing.
Bulls getting cash considerations, it's tale as old as time.
Yep.
That's right.
February 3rd, Cavs acquired Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin, 2021 second round pick, 2023 second round pick. Trailblazers acquire Rodney Hood.
Blazers get a good shooter. Blazers get rid of a couple decent players. I don't know.
Now let's talk about that 2023 second round pick. I think that's the key thing here.
You gotta keep that in mind.
Let me pull up the mock draft here.
Pull it up.
Who do we got going?
Who are they looking at in 2023?
Bronny.
A lot of people have been saying that Bronny is going to go roughly 43rd overall in 2023, so I think they're in good position.
Yeah.
I know we lightly discussed it before, but just curious as to, like, exactly if it's even possible for LeBron Jr. to be exactly good enough to go mid-second round. Like, no. If he's good enough to go mid-second round, he's going in the first round.
Yeah. If he sucks ass, which, like, I don't think is even that likely, like,
yeah,
he's going first round.
Like, if he doesn't go in the first round, he's so bad, like, there's no chance he gets drafted. I just, what's the scenario where he goes, like,
he's been diagnosed overall with some sort of, like, terminal disease, and he's like, I don't want to put that on anyone, but it's a very, very unlikely scenario is what I'm trying to say.
Very unhappy to learn that Joe has used his second full court mess certified guarantee. That a 14-year-old is going to get a terminal.
Curse a boy to curse a young child.
This is a low moment in full court messes, folks.
You're messing with a very powerful family.
Let me redeem myself with the pronunciation of the next trade.
Okay, go ahead. No, you got this.
On February 5th, this is when the action really got going, got hot. The Lakers acquired Reggie Bullock from the Pistons in exchange for a second-round draft pick, and Svatoslav Mikaluk.
There it is. That's gorgeous.
With such confidence, he says.
Wow. I'm impressed.
The Ukraine maker, baby.
I know this was a trade that Will liked.
Another son traded.
I was excited. That's going to be a great spot for Reggie to be in. Like, LeBron should like him because he's the only guy who can shoot on the entire team.
That's true.
Yep.
He got out of Detroit. Yep. He has a chance to just beat Rajon Rondo's ass and make another stand for LGBTQ rights.
As he should. So, as he should.
Win, win, win.
You know, with this trade, I expected the Lakers to make more moves, especially like moving some guards away. So if it seemed like this was a lead into that, right? Like, Reggie is going to take up some minutes. Or he should. So I was thinking, mm-hmm. like, all right, well, either Lonzo or Rondo are going to go because they both expect big minutes too. And it didn't happen.
Oh,
which we'll get to that later too, but I was like, that's interesting. But Lakers going for a good character, so that's nice. Wow. Okay, the other big trade of the fifth. This one was a pretty big deal. And part of it makes me sad that one of these guys is leaving California. 76ers have acquired Tobias Harris, my largest adult son, Boban Marjanovic, and Mike Scott. Clippers get Landry Shamet, I hope I didn't butcher that. Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, 2020 first round pick, 2021 first round pick via Miami, 2021 second round pick, 2023 second round pick. I probably didn't even have to say all those, but
the Toby and Bobby show going to Philly
on the road.
Once again, another 2023 second rounder.
Hot commodities.
No, man, everybody wants them.
Bronny to the Clippers. He's got his family's anchored in LA.
the Clippers, I don't think they won this trade. I feel like both teams like did well in this trade.
Yeah.
Which doesn't always happen. Like, the Clippers got some pretty decent picks. That 2020 pick is unprotected, so that's nice. I mean, Philly's gonna be good, but both of those first round picks are probably like mid to late first round. Get a couple more picks, but Landry Shamet's been like really impressive. And then the other two are basically contract dumps, so it's opening up space for some max contracts. So I think it worked out. Sixers got their huge, you know, really good starting lineup, and big boy Boban backing up Embiid. Mike Scott to replace Muscala, who Mike Scott's better than Mike Muscala.
Yeah, so, that's fair. Fair to say.
I think both teams did well in this trade. I liked it.
I just saw a lot of people wondering why the Clippers made the trade.
Ooh.
Guess we'll never know.
I did a this one inspired some good takes though. This is a classic kind of take you see around the league now, and I get it, but it always cracks me up. Tim Bontips said this one. He said, Sixers now have the best starting lineup in the league. A lot of people do this where they just say things and pretend that the Warriors don't exist when they make their like declarations. People have done it for ages when talking about like what the best backcourt in basketball is, as if it's not entirely obvious that it's always been in Golden State for as long as those two are together.
You just factor that out. They're like, well, not counting the Warriors, of course, but like beyond that.
Never counted. Like, is this the best starting lineup in the league? No, the Warriors are. What? I mean, this starting lineup is amazing.
It is.
But it's not the Warriors. And then we had a great one where someone posed the question today, a real stumper. This was just maybe an hour ago. Anyone want to tell me how the Celtics are going to guard when the Sixers put Embiid and Boban on the floor together?
Yeah, they're going to run past them. Just an idea. Just an idea.
Won't happen for more than like 25 minutes for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Boban is very much a Embiid like spell. Like that is his role. That is a good role for him.
He will get 10 minutes a week.
But Boban might be getting a lot of minutes because I think the Sixers have like three other viable players on their roster at this point. So
they're not about depth right now, but hey, depth isn't what wins in the playoffs.
TJ McConnell's going to be playing 30 minutes off the bench every game.
Hell yeah.
Oh, God, no. All Sixers fans just hope that this trade meant that they'd never see TJ again. Oh, this was also the one that said this inspired Bill Simmons to say that the Sixers will probably need to play TJ instead of Jimmy Butler in their crunch time lineups.
What?
Why? Why would he say that?
Bill Simmons is off the deep end now, folks. Like, he's been bad for ages.
I've seen so many takes of his this week, and they're all so bad.
He just says wild shit all the time now. He doesn't watch any basketball, especially outside of the Celtics, and he has no clue what's happening anymore. Like, I didn't like him before, but he's just off the deep end now.
Bill Simmons, come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Defend your pig.
This is, like, a place where you would fit.
Can run like it takes you want, man.
Bring one of your interview guests with you. Like, bring Kevin Durant.
I need to find... Maybe we'll retweet it. I don't think it would get us in trouble if we retweeted it, but there's... That was his podcast, right? Where, like, there's an episode where at one point last year, for, like, 5 minutes, you can hear someone watching porn in the background. You guys remember this, right?
Yup, these are my readers. I thought you were going to ask if it was his podcast where he had Malcolm Gladwell on to do, like, racial science while making the best, like, ethnic NBA teams, which it was.
That was my next question. Beat me to it. Just interesting stuff going on over there.
Sixers are very... Tobias is great, though. Like, on the Sixers side, they really did kill this. Like,
oh, great trade. He's like a
3-point shooter. He's one of the strongest players in the league. He's great.
Just
gotten better every year.
It's barely like missing out on All-Star.
Him and Giannis have just like gotten significantly better every single year they've been in the league so far.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And they were both Bucks.
That's right. People forget this.
Speaking of the Bucks, should we move on to February 6th?
I love February 6th.
Really?
No.
Well, I was gonna say good news for you, but bad news for you, and bad news for many Bucks fans, heartbroken by this. Goodbye, Thon Maker.
Ooh.
Hello, Stanley Johnson from the Pistons.
This really vindicates us, because when a true superstar demands a trade, he gets it.
Yeah.
Marquise Chris got traded.
Yep.
Thon Maker got traded.
Yep. Oh, spoiler. Haven't gotten to Marquise Chris yet.
That nobody down in New Orleans didn't get what he wanted because he's not good enough.
That's right.
Thon Maker earned this.
Listen, you want something, you got to prove you're worth it. Exactly. You got to earn it. That's how it works in this league.
You got to prove you're worth Stanley Johnson.
You have to prove you're worth getting rid of.
I like Thon. I will always fondly remember like his 5 blocks in 5 minutes against the Celtics in the playoffs.
Crazy.
He showed spurts of greatness. He was never very consistent. But he was very fun, very athletic. Played hard all the time. I will miss him, but I'm okay with the end result of what we ended up getting.
I get why he wanted to leave. I mean, like, I feel like the Bucks starting the season like had a plan for him, and then Brooke just kind of stole the show.
And DJ Wilson emerged.
Yeah,
beautifully like, short shorts.
Yeah, honestly, like, the minutes just dried up for him, and I totally understand wanting to go somewhere where you can play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't blame him at all. So
I think it worked out for everyone.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially the Bucks. We'll get to that. Let's see what else happened on the 6th. Malachi Richardson from the Sixers, or acquired by the Sixers, and draft rights to.
There's that depth.
Amir Preldzik.
He's been playing overseas for the last like 5 years.
Draft rights to him.
That's a classic Sixers acquisition.
Yeah, maybe one day. And then Toronto's 2022 second round pick. Raptors get cash.
Oh, baby.
So
that cheddar.
Good for them.
Bulls are jealous.
Also on the 6th.
In our cash.
This is an interesting one because I don't think it means much. No, actually, one of the players means more, but I don't know. It's just weird and interesting, but maybe not a game changer. Suns getting Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington, and the Heat get Ryan Anderson.
And then they immediately waived Wayne Ellington, which, thank God.
Yeah, Ellington might be one of the only guys in the buyout market that's going to, like, actually do some, like, contributor for the rest of the season.
That's what I mean. Like, this trade, I feel like, doesn't do much for either team.
I guess it kind of finally, actually, not really, but, like, it's a somewhat attempt in Phoenix to get someone who can kind of dribble. I'm really hedging this, but, like,
play defense a little.
They've got to have somebody not named Devin Booker, like, dribbling.
That's true. So I guess, yeah, there's something there.
Not sure that's the guy, but, like, kind of a step in the right direction, maybe. I don't know. Phoenix is pathetic. Like,
Will, do you want to discuss this next trade that happened on the 6th?
I'm gonna keep it a whole buck with you, dog. I'm kind of getting the feeling that I don't.
Okay. Well, I'm just giving you a chance if you wanted to announce it yourself. Maybe it'd feel better or worse. Not sure.
I'm not even looking at the trades. I'm just waiting to get blindsided by it.
Okay.
Like I was when it happened.
Will was pretty upset when this happened. When I say pretty upset, it was definitely more than that. Maybe we'll share screenshots for fun later. Who knows?
Oh, God.
The Bulls have acquired Otto Porter Jr. The Wizards get 2023 second round pick. So maybe a chance at Bronny. There's that.
Hot commodities. Those picks are flying.
Woo! Bobby Portis, Jabari Parker.
This is so fucked up.
I'm
still. I thought I'd kind of gotten over it since it happened, but then you read his name again, and I'm not happy.
You trade someone to the Bulls, they're dead to the rest of the league.
It's cruel. He didn't deserve this. He deserves to be on a good team.
And I feel like that's the best they could get for Otto Porter Jr. That's it. You get Bobby Portis and Jabari.
Yeah, be shaming.
Now Jabari's an ex-son of mine, but
this is the first good trade the Bulls have made since like 2009. I don't know. I was like, this was a mistake, but like, you know how you should like delete your old texts when you get dumped.
Yeah.
I was looking through my old tweets just for ones where I had mentioned Otto. And just going through memory lane. And then I found one where it just said something like, advanced stats, Otto makes me smile more than any other player in the league. And that's what I'm at.
You find that one picture that, like, it makes you smile for a second, and then you're just like, fuck!
Yeah, it's like the one where, like, it's like a selfie that I took, but I took it while he's giving me a piggyback ride. that's what I went back and was watching an old clip of, when the first game of, not this season, but last season, I think it was last season, maybe the one before that, but it was like the season opener, it was against the Bucks, and the Verizon Center crowd, back when it was the Verizon Center, was actually chanting, Otto Porter, clap, 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 Otto Porter, and it never happened before, and I was remembering him locking up DeMar DeRozan in the playoffs, and I'm really sad, I don't know.
Will's just like reading this news to himself over and over again, hoping it's not real, while like, in the back of his head, this like slideshow or like montage plays like off of a projector of like all the happiest times of Otto Porter.
We remember all the times we had together. Come on, guys. Vitamin C, you remember.
I've just been listening to Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. I'm just watching clips of Otto hit shots and looking at his shot chart when every region on the court was green. Looking at his old Instagram where he said, nobody messed with the bench I made. And then there was a really small, weird bench in the background on like a forest path.
Oh, Otto.
He was perfect. He was my lanky son who somehow looked exactly like Wilt Chamberlain.
It's true. That people forget this. It's true.
Now he's a fucking Chicago Bull.
Now he's gone forever.
It is. This is some grade A Chicago bullshit, let me tell you that.
Ooh. Oof. Before we move on to the next trade, there was news of the Lakers being interested in Jabari, and I thought that was really interesting if he went, ended up over there in LA, like playing under LeBron, because I just wondered like if that would make him a better player or not.
I'm going to go with no, because I think LeBron plays even less defense than Jabari does right now.
Yeah.
You're right.
I guess, I mean, like, yeah, everybody gets better. It's been really fun realizing how the Lakers literally never watched the Cavs of the past, like, 3 years. Like, Lakers fans.
Yeah.
They're, like, losing their mind over stuff LeBron's doing. Like, oh, how about you try a little bit less? It's like, did you not expect this?
LeBron sitting at the far end of the bench.
He's just, like, not even walking up the court on defense. He's just, like, standing there, like, ah, they'll handle it.
Gotta conserve his energy if he wants to play with his son.
Yeah.
That's smart. That's why it's a good call to miss the playoffs this year.
Sit him out. Sit him out. Next trade. Kind of small one. Rockets get Iman Shumpert, Nick Stauskas, Wade Baldwin.
Stauskas and Baldwin on the move again.
Maybe this will make them better friends.
Maybe they're one person.
That's
just a package deal.
Dynamic like duo.
Siamese twins kind of thing.
Stauskas
and Baldwin sounds like it should be a lawyer show on USA.
Damn, hell it does.
It's the sequel to Franklin and Bash.
Nick and Wade.
I'm going to assume that's an actual show and you didn't just make that up.
Yeah, no, it's real. It was awesome. It was so bad.
Cavs get Brandon Knight, Marquise Chris, 2019 first round pick via the Rockets, which is lottery protected. Kings get Alec Burks. I don't know. I don't know what to think about
getting
this.
With Marquise Chris getting what he asked for.
Yeah, he
got Cavaliers.
And the Rockets got Shumpert, right?
Yeah.
The Rockets did get Shumpert, yeah.
I imagine they just shipped all of that out and didn't get anything back. That's what happens when a player of Marquise Chris's caliber requests a trade. You attach a first rounder to him and you send him out as a show of respect.
Yep.
It's like when you put two coins on a fallen warrior's eyes for the boatman.
He earned it.
You put a couple of first rounder on top of Marquise Chris and you set him on fire and you shove him out to Cleveland.
Let's see.
Burn an effigy on the way.
Which is representing the underworld rather nicely in this scenario.
This was an interesting one. Kings get Harrison Barnes. Mavs get Zach Randolph, Justin Jackson. When Harrison Barnes was traded, he actually played the rest of the game, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think they're fighting.
He was on the bench, yeah.
Because
he was on the court when it happened, but then, like, in the third quarter, they, like, pulled him and, like, very obviously told him it had happened.
But he stayed on the bench.
Dude, what a guy.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I like this move, though. I think Barnes will be good on the Kings. They've been wanting a tall shooting, at least a wing. Yeah, he's a wing, sure. And boy, does he shoot. He really does shoot it.
Yep, so. That's he does.
Sometimes he even makes it.
North Carolina boy.
Yeah,
Justin Jackson is a North Carolina boy also.
Hoping
right?
Justin has some fun in Dallas with Luka throwing the ball. He's from Texas, so close to home for him. That's nice.
Sweet.
Everyone just had such nice things to say about Harrison when on his way out too. Like Rick Carlisle said, like, if I had a son or I hope my son, but basically like I hope my son grows up to be like him or something. Uh-huh. This is the kind of thing you look for when you don't have like very many like good NBA player alumni in the league. You're like, hell yeah, they're all good people. That's more important.
I think I saw a quote that said something like, Harrison Barnes really guided us through those rocky last few years. Like, it was kind of like a backhanded comment, I thought.
He guided you straight to Luka Doncic.
This team's good now, so bye, Harrison.
I like Harrison, but I don't know. Well, we'll see what his contribution to the Kings is. It seems like they have longer-term plans for him.
Yeah,
maybe hopefully not paying him as much as he gets for the rest of the season going forward, but we'll see. I think it's interesting. I'll be watching. Let's see, move on. Pelicans get Markieff Morris. Wizards get Wesley Johnson.
Right as he was rubbing lotion all over his torso, too.
Yeah, do you want to read that tweet?
Tell me more.
Do you have that on hand?
I'll find it. You guys talk about things for a minute.
Okay. Well, Markieff was waived, right?
This was the move where it was like people going, oh, Washington's finally decided to tank. And then, no, that's not the case. This just got them under the luxury tax, and now they're going to still try to win.
Yeah.
That's totally pathetic. But it was worth noting that Ernie Grunfeld described getting Wesley Johnson as, we got us a shooter. Wesley Johnson's career true shooting percentage is 0.500. That's not good.
Hey, he didn't say good shooter. He said you got a shooter.
You'll put him up. Believe that.
All right, I've got the tweet. It comes from Darnell Mayberry. It says, it quotes Shams mentioning that Wesley Johnson is heading to Washington for Markieff Morris. His response is, I was just standing next to Wesley Johnson as he rubbed lotion over his torso and joked about smelling good for his wife when he got home. ... This business is insane. He and his family's life changed that fast.
Oh,
it sounds pretty insane. I wish I was there.
Do you think the people of New Orleans knew that Wesley Johnson was on the Pelicans?
Like, he'd lost his spot in the rotation.
This is what happens when the Saints run your best player out of town.
No.
What scented lotion? We want answers.
I'm imagining, like, as people, like, told Wesley he was traded, he was like, oh my god, and like holding his head in his hands, and like while his head was in his hands, you notice like there was still a set of hands like rubbing the lotion into his torso, and Darnell Mabin was just fine.
Let's see. Oh man. February 7th. Rockets get a 2021 second round pick for the Sixers, James Ennis.
Couldn't get that 2023 second round pick though.
Nope. Yeah, what the fuck? You can't draft Braun with that one.
No, you can't. It's bad. Bad trade. Move on. Okay, so here's... I think this is theft. This should have been vetoed.
I don't think so.
This should not have been allowed. Pelicans acquired Jason Smith, Stanley Johnson, and four future second-round picks.
Could all be 2023 picks. We don't know.
At least one of them is, because it came from the Wizards.
Bucks get Nikola Mirotic.
Oh, my sweet, sweet boy.
Ooh.
Sounds like robbery for the Pelicans. Sounds like they got six things and only gave up one.
That's six for one.
That's true.
That's quite the ratio.
You can't go wrong with that.
Someone's...
They got 600% of the assets.
Someone offers you $120 bill or four ones. What do you take?
But in this case, the Bucks offered six ones.
Well...
It's funny we're talking about $1 bills while we talk about the Bucks. Am I right, folks?
Cancel the show.
Oh, rack him.
Cut the mic.
Cut him out. Can I mute him? I can mute him.
I was laughing and enjoying my clever.
All right, he's been muted.
More players, more players on the Pelicans for the people of New Orleans to not know who they are.
Okay, I've unmuted you. You've learned your lesson.
People, I've been to New Orleans. People love the Saints down there. And I don't know about you, but I do think they're... I've seen takes that claim that people that love the Saints are the ones running Anthony Davis out of town. So it's almost like people from New Orleans go to Saints games and they're like, who dat? And then they go to Pelican games and they're like, who is that on the court? I don't know who these guys are. We have a team here? I thought we were the Hornets.
Where's Chris Paul? I thought we had him.
Baron Davis, is he still?
I have also recently been to New Orleans, and when I was there, I saw nothing about the Pelicans. This was during NBA season.
Wow.
I think I've seen more Pelicans gear in California than I have in New Orleans.
AD to LA confirmed.
Confirmed.
Good for the Clippers.
That would be so beautiful. Any of these players that the Lakers are pursuing, that if the Clippers end up with them, oh, it would be so beautiful.
The Clippers have better assets than the Lakers now. Like, they should be able to get these guys if they want them.
Then PG gets traded to the Clippers.
They just form like an LA super team. It's like Westbrook, PG, Kawhi, and Anthony Davis.
Chris Paul goes to the Clippers to have vengeance for his vetoed trade to the Lakers.
LeBron opts out of his contract, joins the Clippers.
And LeVar's like, finally, Lonzo can run the show, and they win 4 games all year.
But man, in those 4 games, are they having a blast?
Just happy that 2 guys get to play and have fun there. Let's see, Pacers get Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin and a future second round pick. So on the move again.
Together.
I like imagining like in a long time from now when some other civilization is like dissecting what we did, they come across like trade deadline logs and they see something like this and they go, Nick Stauskas and Wade Baldwin got traded so much, everyone must have wanted them. These must be the 2 best players in the league for everyone to pursue them so much.
Rockets.
I mean, they're not wrong. They're not wrong.
Yeah, they're not wrong. They have been just wanted multiple times in this week, apparently. Anyways, Rockets for that trade just get future considerations. That's what CBS website says.
I love trades like this that are just like, just take them. Whatever. We'll figure it out.
Well, yeah.
That's just literally thinking about the future.
Add it to my tab.
We'll give you these players if you just think about us later on. Yeah. What do you say?
Call me sometime.
They're going to pay off this debt by the Pacers in like, I don't know, 2-3 years, just saying, hey, remember the Rockets? And that's good. There's Blair.
Let's see. Moving on. Grizzlies get Avery Bradley for Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green.
Huge by the Clippers. They're crushing it. Avery Bradley's so bad this year.
Yeah.
I feel like the Clippers stole away 2 like really solid players for 1 decent or solid player. Like, it was literally a 2-for-1. I don't know why that happened.
I have no clue what Memphis is doing, but
they kept Mike Conley though.
Yep.
Hey, playoffs.
I don't know.
MVP Mike Conley.
And they've got Jaren Jackson, who is very fun.
Yeah, he's fun. So speaking of Grizzlies, we'll just go straight to the next trade in the same day of Jonas Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 2024 second round pick. Oof, to the Grizzlies. Close. Raptors get Mark Gasol.
Now here, the Grizzlies are counting on LeBron Jr. spending a second year in college before he comes out. It's a gamble, but it's really one that might pay off.
I'm thinking teams got to start investing in 2022 second round picks in case the college, you know, 1 year in college rule gets abolished.
Uh-huh.
If that happens, I mean, LBJ Jr. is he's coming out of high school, right? He's got to.
Yeah, follow his dad's footsteps.
I'm really counting on the Wizards stocking up on some 2042 second-round picks. I've got my eye on LeBron James III.
LeBron James Jr.
Yes.
Because that's how that would work.
Those are actually 2 separate players. There's LeBron James III and LeBron James Jr. for the record.
Yeah.
That's like how the Marlins just signed Victor Mesa Jr. and they also signed Victor Mesa.
Did they really?
Yeah.
What?
And Victor is the good one. Victor Mesa Jr. is fine, but he's not as good.
I think I need to start watching baseball now.
Yeah. It's 100% more Victor.
If this is that's what's 3 happening.
For the price of 2.
Wow.
This is a basketball podcast. We're bleeding out into other sports.
Sorry, we'll continue.
How could you not win when you have that many victors on the team? Am I right?
Oh, no. God. I'll mute him again. You know, I don't fully get this trade. I only slightly get it. Like, that's for the Raptors, it's like, hey, we'd like to win right now with Marc Gasol.
But well, they should. I mean, if they don't think Kawhi is staying, they should try to win right now.
Yeah, but then it's like, how much longer is Mark going to be that good?
I think he'll have a longer career than most big men because he can shoot and he's a great passer. But he is 34, I
34,
think?
Yeah.
That's up there, definitely. But he's a much more mobile big man and useful big man than Valanciunas, who was basically relegated to the bench during the playoffs last year because he was not useful.
Yeah, I don't know. This just seems weird.
It is kind of weird, but I think the Raptors are just going all in this year.
Yeah, and for the Grizzlies, I guess, like, Jonas is not that old. He's kind of young still.
Mm-hmm.
So they can try and develop him or something.
Yeah, and the Raptors kept Siakam. They kept their first-round pick. They kept Lowry. Like, Lowry was getting shopped around, I guess. So I think it's a good trade. They kept all their best assets and their future assets and their current best players.
I love the takes that come out after trades where, like, I saw a guy say after this one, who was, like, a Celtics fan, say, like, phew, Dellen Wright was actually the only guard on that team who scared me because of how much wiggle he had in the lane. Like, no one has ever said that until he was gone.
Playoff key.
Dellen Wright's the only guard that scared me on that team because of how big of a suit he wore.
I was like, oh no, there could be three players in there and we won't be ready for that. I just love that, like, oh, yeah, he was their good player. He was the reason they were good and now he's gone. Idiots. You weren't saying that before he got traded. The Bucks trade for Nikola Mirotic and I'm just over here saying, morons. Stanley Johnson was the only one who scared me on that team.
I was shaking in my boots for
look
all
what
those
you've done to yourself.
Hours he was on the Bucks.
I didn't sleep that night because I was so worried about Stanley Johnson.
Big mistake. when the Warriors traded cash considerations to the Bulls, it's like, you're going to need that money.
Idiots. Good luck running a team without cash.
How are you going to afford KD next summer?
That's what the Bulls are doing. They're just stocking up cash until they can pay two full salary caps.
We're saving up. Put it in the piggy bank.
And you morons are just playing right into their hands.
They're saving up money so they can give Jim Boylan another extension.
Smart teams like the Wizards are giving them expensive players like Otto Porter.
You play checkers? I'm playing Monopoly. Let's get to one of the biggest trades this week. One that Lakers have been working very hard towards all week. Lakers get Mike Muscala. Clippers get Michael Beasley and Ivaka Zubac.
Smooth move by the Lakers to free up a roster space by trading someone better than Mike Muscala for Mike Muscala.
Yeah.
Trading two players better than Mike Muscala.
Yeah. This is maybe the most questionable trade this week.
Like, if you thought it was fun watching them fuck up trying to get Anthony Davis, think about how fun it's going to be watching them trade all of those young players for players who aren't Anthony Davis.
Zubac has, like, had a good couple last months. Since, like, McGee got pneumonia and couldn't play for, like, a week, and Zubac got the start, and he was killing it. He was earning his minutes, and now they're like, Mike Muscala.
They need room to sign Carmelo.
He's in the league, right? Let's get him.
This is also, what was it? This is like one day after Mike Muscala's dad said like massively racist things about like Jimmy Butler or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like Mike Muscala literally had to apologize in the last 24 hours because his dad said like Jimmy Butler was like a classic example of like African-American attitude problem.
Wow, I'm surprised the Mavericks didn't try to go after Mike Muscala. I feel like he's just what they want now. I mean, Mavericks are, like, going for the mega white squad.
They are. They saw how well it worked for the, like, late 2000s Timberwolves.
We have Mark Cuban this get week
Wally
saying...
Get Wally Strubiak out of retirement.
Someone get Chase Budinger in here? God damn it!
Cuban, like, this week was saying, like, he regrets splitting up Nash and Dirk. It's like, that's, like, your big basketball regret.
I mean, Cuban's also the one who said, who was talking about how much better Europe develops players than AAU in America, which is clearly evidenced by just there being so many more European players than American players in the NBA.
Mm. Well, he's racking them up, that's for sure. There was a lot of things about racial bias within the Mavericks organization this week with all the trades they've been doing.
Cuban had to trade all of the black players away from the team because he would run into them like around the office and every time would have to cross the street.
Oh my god. He's just like, we can get another white player. Fuck him. Trade him during the game. I don't care.
Someone he sees him, and then like the big Shark Tank chair comes down, and he sits down, and he just goes, "I'm out." And then he zooms away in the chair.
I saw someone reply to a tweet about Mark Cuban this week, and it was something about Mark Cuban just wanting white players. And the reply, I don't even think it had a caption. It was just a TMZ photo of him sitting down with Steve Bannon at like a coffee shop. And I was like, yeah. Like, just not surprised at all.
Mark Cuban's the same man who said that he would be fully willing to either be the VP on Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump's ticket.
Oh, man.
Like, the only principle this guy has in his entire life is being afraid of black people. Everything else is up for paycheck.
There was, like, that thing a year or two ago, this whole, like, scandal within the organization of, like, sexual harassment.
Yeah.
You guys read up on all that, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And there was that thing where, like, he knew this guy was, like, harassing women in the workplace. I don't remember what that guy's position was.
It was, like, the team president.
Fuck, yeah, something like that. something very high up and powerful.
He was a real low-level guy.
the first thing he was like, oh, yeah, I didn't know about it. And then he was like, yeah, I knew about it, but I didn't fire him because I knew that he would just go do the same things elsewhere.
Yes.
And I read that. I was like, what? What? I was, like, losing my mind reading that. Like, oh, my God, that's such bull.
Also, the gall for him to pretend he didn't know. He literally, his entire brand is being the most involved owner in sports.
Yeah.
Behind the bench. He says he knows everything. And they're like, yo, this guy harassed women for years and also assaulted a couple of them. And he's like, oh, fuck, who was that? No, I haven't heard of him before. What? I'm not in the office very much. I don't buy this.
He's like, I was busy reading emails from all the fans.
Who said they love me and I look good in a t-shirt.
I was just going to reference him wearing a t-shirt all the time.
Fuck him. Also, don't forget, it totally went away. But like 2 weeks after that guy got fired, someone accused Mark Cuban of sexual assault.
And yeah, I remember
totally
that.
Totally went away.
That when they fired that guy, I don't know what his name is, but
I forgot it.
Who?
But,
he's,
yeah.
Whatever. There's some, like, he went on to some other company and got fired like a month later for the same shit.
Hey, Mark Cuban was right.
Mark Cuban was right. you got to hand it to him.
It took them to realize he was the same guy.
Got to hand it to him.
You're the one from the Mavs? No, get the fuck out.
I just can't believe he's like, I didn't know. And then he's like, oh, I knew. And I kept him here. I'm a good guy, actually. I'm good for keeping him.
Remember when Mark Cuban compared a black teenager to a grown white man with face tattoos?
I do.
No, I do not.
It was when he was doing his I Would Cross the Street Too take, like post Trayvon Martin, saying like, hey, I would cross the street if I saw a black teenager in a hoodie. And everyone was like, yeah, because you're a racist. And then he goes, what do you mean I'm a racist? I would cross the street if I saw like a bald white man with face tattoos. Does that make me racist? I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, that comparison does. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like sitting there, he's like, yeah, I would cross if I saw a black teenager. I would cross if I saw a white convicted felon. What part of this makes me racist?
I would cross if I saw Post Malone. What do you want? He's from Dallas.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
No, also, the other worst part about fucking Mark Cuban is every time any of this comes up, someone in the conversation, some NBA writer, some random person you're talking to at work, feels compelled to go, oh, I mean, but he's a great owner, though.
But, like, is he?
I don't. Also, first of all, no, he just destroyed the title team and then never got it back and just, like, got Dirk to take tiny contracts and didn't help him out for a decade. And also, that's not what we're talking about. Who gives a shit? You're like, yeah, this guy covered up sexual assault, and it's always just followed up by, man, best owner in sports, though.
He's the only basketball ower people know.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a big name. He's a celebrity.
People just love rich people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's really rich, though.
You gotta hand it to him.
Yeah, but, you know, like, Chris Brown had some big-selling albums.
Right.
It's like, We could have a whole episode about this.
We basically already have.
Yeah.
And it's just it's giving me a little PTSD from the time I accidentally went mini viral talking shit on Mark Cuban.
You want to?
And then got put in a Twitter moment that was full of pro Mark Cuban comments, and then they didn't read my whole tweet, thought it was a compliment, and threw it in there.
What was
it?
It was tweet?
When JJ Barea used the plane to go to Puerto Rico, and everyone was like, "Wow, what a great guy!" And so like it just bothered me. So I say, "Mark Cuban letting JJ Barea use the plane, cool, good." Mark Cuban overall, still a massive piece of shit. And whoever put the moment together only read the first sentence. So you're just scrolling through all these tweets that are like, Mark Cuban rules, what a guy, what a guy. And then you get to mine, and it's just like the second to last one. It calls him a massive piece of shit. And people got so mad at me.
It's amazing that like people cannot understand that you can be a shitty person and do good things.
Yeah. The best one ever. I won't go into all of them. If anyone who wants to see him, it's easy to find. They're great replies. But the best reply is a guy who responded to it and says, "Ooh, poor timing on your part, wouldn't you say?" Like, I didn't know that he had let him use the play.
Like, oh, man. I was saving this tweet.
Oh, shit.
I was just guessing that this happened.
You picked the wrong day to talk shit on Mark Cuban, my friend. I hope that guy finds this podcast and responds to it, telling us it was poor timing on our part.
Something's happening right now with the Mavs.
He just made a trade for Kristaps. Pretty bad timing on our part.
He's a hero. All right.
Whew, let's rattle through these couple trades. Yeah, real quick.
We love trades.
These next ones are small. We got a. Let's see. These were still today. Trailblazers get Scalabissiere. Kings get Caleb Swanigan.
That's huge.
Hawks get Shelvin Mack. Grizzlies get Tyler Dorsey.
Love these one-for-one player trades.
This straight-up challenge trade.
This one was an interesting one, I guess we can touch on while we're talking about controversial topics. Hawks get Jabari Bird. Celtics get a future second-round pick.
For anybody who doesn't know about Jabari Bird's story, we don't need to go into it here. It's really bad.
Yeah.
And graphic. But you're welcome to look it up on your own. He's a really bad guy.
It's disgusting and unforgivable. And
apparently, I was being told, was Joe or Jared, were you telling me that it would have apparently cost the Celtics a little bit of money to cut him?
Yeah, I think I read something like the Celtics were waiting for some legal stuff to go through so that the league would allow them like a money exception to drop him.
Yeah, because they're tight for cash.
Yeah, and I guess they just traded him.
For cash considerations. You don't have that little nest egg so that you can cut like horrific domestic abusers.
Yeah. Save up that money.
The Bulls are actually extremely woke.
Yes. So that's a trade. Here we are on the last two trades right before these snuck in before the deadline. We have Raptors acquiring future considerations. So Raptors get a handshake, high five. The Nets get Greg Monroe and a 2021 second round pick.
Man, I can't wait for Anthony Davis to unite with Greg Monroe. Two star big men on the same team. This is going to be hyper athletic. That's right.
Now, I mean, Raptors get one thing here, and the Nets get two. Something to think about.
But what you're not thinking of is future considerations is plural.
It's true. That could be two handshakes in the future.
So that's two plus.
That's true. Well, I don't know. Good for the Nets. Greg Monroe's fun. Nets are fun.
Moose.
Joe, do you want to bring us into the last trade of the day? Last trade of the season?
Sure. I don't know. It might have been one of the more, surprising or just shocking. Didn't know if it was actually going to happen kind of moves. The 76ers traded Markelle Fultz to the Magic for Jonathan Simmons, a 2020 first round pick via the Thunder, and a future second round pick. So Fultz changes scenery, goes to Orlando, and I read that they're gonna take it slow with Fultz, let him recover from whatever ghostly injuries he's got or whatever. the yips. I don't know. But that's interesting. And I really hope Markelle Fultz figures it out and ends up being a solid player or a great player.
I am, in fact, hearing that the Magic are planning on taking it slow with Fultz. Both sides are looking for something serious here. They don't want anything casual. So they're going to take their time, not rush things, really get to know one another before they take any next steps.
Yeah, don't want to rush into the heavy petting, that's for sure.
Right. Fultz wants to make sure they have right assets, financially stable, can provide a solid future, and have good medical insurance.
And only then will he agree to lotion up his torso in front of them.
How old is Fultz?
How old is Fultz? What is he, like?
20?
20?
19?
I think it's a great trade for the Magic to take a chance on him.
Oh, I think it's good for everyone. Like, Fultz, like, obviously doesn't trust the Sixers medical staff, who, like, in recent history have shown maybe they shouldn't be trusted that much. You know, you could argue that. Shit happens. But I think change of scenery is good for him. Fresh start. Like, I hope he does well. I like Fultz. Like, he just had an unlucky streak or something. I mean, Sixers fans, hardcore Sixers fans would argue otherwise. But, I don't know, I think that's good for everyone. When Fultz came back...
The Sixers get some wing depth. Simmons is a good player.
When Fultz is healthy, like, there's not going to be minutes for him anyways.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get out of the scrutiny that's Philadelphia, like, you can't find many places with less scrutiny than the Orlando Magic.
That's right. And the Magic are a fun young team. Like, if Fultz figures it out, he's got Aaron Gordon, he's got Vucevic, he's got Jonathan Isaac, he's got others to play with.
Others? It'll be fun when...
Mobamba, that's right. Yes. Mobamba's injured now, though. Yeah, but, yes.
It'll be fun when they get on TV again in 7 years.
Oh, I'm thinking about a Fultz-Mo Bamba tandem. That's super fun.
I hope Sheck West makes a song about Markelle Fultz.
Then Fultz is just going to get hurt again. It's a curse.
Oh, no. It's kind of worth it. It was a really good song.
It's like the old like the old Adidas curse, but now it's just Sheck West makes a song about you.
You feel like it should be so preventable, but it just keeps happening. You're like, no, god damn it, Sheck, stop it.
Do not praise me.
Make the song about anyone. And he's just picking just young, promising players who aren't even all that good yet. It's monstrous.
Oh, man. So I want to go into a trade that didn't happen, but I want to lead into it with a tweet that I found from @LakeShowYo. And I feel like this is representative of maybe... I don't know, a decent portion of the Lakers fan base. This tweet says, "Stingy-ass Pelicans. Now I almost wish that no trades happen, and Lakers just sign Anthony Davis in free agency to teach that bum franchise a lesson, SMH."
Well, you'd have another year with Anthony Davis before that happens, if that's what you want.
I feel like this shows a bit of entitlement. Like, you guys to trade him to us now.
Yeah.
This is tweet on the 4th, so there's time to make that trade, but I've seen so many tweets like this of, like, you were idiots for not taking this. Okay, I mean, that's a fair point, but it's like, you have to trade him to us. Like, because Anthony Davis hinted that he'd go to the Lakers, they're like, you have to give him to us now.
Yeah, like, I mean, everyone agreed the second this started happening that the smart move was to wait for the summer to see everyone's offer.
Yeah.
And instead, the Lakers are like, they're doing this to screw us personally. It's like, you know,
or Celtics fans are seeing it as like, we just won, we're gonna get him now.
You know, fuck it. Maybe they are doing it to screw you personally, but it's also the right move. So who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of weird entitlement like that. Sorry, Lakers fans. But that being said, that package, some of the packages that the Lakers offered, like the later offers, were huge.
Oh my goodness! Windhorse reporting that the Pelicans were just leaking it so they could fuck up the Lakers' chemistry. That's hilarious.
Dude, it rules. It rules. When I heard him say that, I was like, I respect this franchise again.
There were also the later reports. They would never come from Windhorse because Windhorse gets his stuff straight from LeBron. But there were later reports that it was actually LeBron and Clutch Sports who were the ones leaking it to try to force the Lakers to offer those players. This is all amazing.
A picture of, like, a recent game where LeBron's at the far side of the bench. There's like three open spaces between him and the rest of the team. What we didn't see is him checking his phone, texting Rich Paul.
He's literally refreshing
Woj's page.
He's taking a picture of the bench saying, like, these ones.
Yeah.
Or, like, the clip where they did the contrast between at the beginning of the year where he, like, grabbed the whole team and said, when you fall down, you stay down until your brother comes and picks you up. To, like, 2 games ago when Mo Wagner fell down and, like, literally players looked at him and then just walked away.
That was Lance. Like, Lance tried
to... He fell down because Lance pushed him over.
Yeah, Lance, like, stole his rebound, left him on the ground and, would like, rolled his eyes and walked away. Which is, like, the most Lance thing.
Lance could Lance.
The Lakers had to make sure they kept him on the team at the deadline.
Right?
It's inspired so many good takes. Like, yeah. From Lakers and Celtics fan, they got this one from a Lakers... It's a Lakers account. I feel like he might be a Lakers fan and a Celtics fan because he's really complimentary of all the players. But this is very emblematic of like how much they overrate their prospects. This is his post, I think, to prove that the Lakers prospects are better than the Celtics ones, so they should have taken the Lakers deal. But it just goes, Jason Tatum potential equals PG-13. Brandon Ingram potential equals Giannis with a 3-point shot. Kyle Kuzma potential equals Carmelo Anthony. Jaylen Brown potential equals Trevor Ariza. Terry Rozier potential equals Jason Terry. Lonzo Ball potential equals better Jason Kidd. The truth is the truth is the truth.
Sorry, I need to go to urgent care right now. I just hurt my neck from shaking it too hard.
These are incredible.
Guy's just a fan of the NBA. What can you say?
Just love to watch
Jason
these guys
Terry,
play.
Like third all time in 3-pointers made. I don't think Terry Rozier is going to morph into that.
No.
Obviously, the outlier is Brandon Ingram is Giannis with a 3-pointer. But
yeah.
Never mind the fact that Ingram can't shoot 3-pointers.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was, and also, I think we already talked about, but that just reminded me of Bill Simmons' incredible take from like a year ago on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown becoming like a Tatum will be a top 7 player guaranteed in 2 years, and Jaylen Brown is going to be a rich man's Paul George.
What does that mean?
I mean, Paul George is already a top 10 player, so he's saying both of those guys are going to be top 7 at least players.
Well, they still have another year.
They do. So, they're ready to break out, I think.
Mm-hmm. I have this take that has been going around from... I was going to, as a joke, call him friend of the show, but I can't do that in good faith.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you did it.
From, yeah. I don't want that on my conscience. This is from Fox Sports, Jason Whitlock.
Enemy of the show.
Enemy of the show. Not friend of the show. So he said this on Fox Sport One's Speak for Yourself. I'm just gonna say the quotes that I have here before I'm not even gonna lead into it. Okay. Upbringing and capability explain us all. That's why LeBron James is no mystery. He's an only child and an extremely talented one. Those two facts explain the current dysfunctional state of the Los Angeles Lakers. Those two facts explain why James sat at the end of the bench last night alone during a 42-point loss to the depleted Pacers. Those two facts explain why chaos and upheaval follow James from organization to organization. Those two facts separate James from Jordan. Moves on to, like a lot of only children, LeBron is a high achiever, selfish, mature beyond his years, desperate for positive affirmation, independent, sensitive, stubborn when he's wrong, and a creative thinker. That's all I'm going to read from this.
I remember when I took AP high school psychology class.
This is one of those things where, like, first of all, I think a lot more and more now how much athletes should be allowed to just beat all of our asses for the amount of shit we pretend like we know about them.
Yeah.
Like, I think it a lot about with, like, Kevin Durant, where, like, everyone on Twitter knows exactly how his brain works, and they're like, this man is just fundamentally a coward. And I'm like, he should get to kill you at some point. Like, he really should.
That but, brings so us I back to the say that to his face. Like, not yeah. Always a fan, but there are some right times where that should happen.
Absolutely. But, like, so, some of that with, like, him just, like, listing, like, apparently every one of LeBron's personality traits. But also, this is one thing where it got so deeply personal that even though nothing in there, I don't think, was racist on its own, I feel like it was about to become racist. Like, he was a step away from pointing back to, like, and he didn't have a father growing up.
Yeah.
Which really explains this.
I don't...
Especially since Colin Coward is on that show, and that was what Colin Coward talked about for years with John Wall.
Yeah, I don't have the full quote because I didn't want to look through all that. There's maybe a retweet the clip or something. There's a lot more, but and I feel like near racist territory is an area that Whitlock seems like he's ventured near it. I don't want to say he has or not because I don't want to get in trouble, but
he lives there.
Yeah, there's history.
We're just like trying to like hint to our viewers like, oh, if you look in the right places, perhaps you'll find.
If you look at some things we might retweet at full court mess.
If we start retweeting Whitlock, we're gonna have to put retweets are not endorsements in our bio.
Yeah. Yeah, this in no way is an endorsement. I don't know. That is the wildest take I've seen this week, and there's been a lot of wild takes this week. And you know what's crazy is that before we started, because like I had this on my list of things I want to talk about, and this happened just a couple days ago. I think you mentioned this, right?
Yeah,
it was because, like yesterday. Yeah, because that 4-2 point loss was like 2 days ago. I had trouble finding this because I typed in like I was trying to search for this quote, so I didn't have to like play the clip and. It was hard to find because there are so many other things like this.
Yeah, people love reaching with LeBron.
But not just that, there's like so many other clips like this from Whitlock.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I just saw the Chiron at first. Is that how you pronounce the banner on TV?
Yeah.
Where I was just like scrolling through Twitter and someone had taken a screenshot of it and it was like, are the Lakers' problems attributable to LeBron being an entitled only child? And I was like, just another normal day.
Having a normal one.
Fox Sports 1.
Oh, man. I don't know how to joke about it. It's just like, it's too hot. It's too wild. It's also stupid.
Handle with care.
Anyways.
We handle these takes so y'all don't have to, folks.
Oven mitts. Welding goggles. We're careful.
I've got a spicy blast from the past real quick. Close out the cast.
Let's do it.
The man with the Baja Blast has a blast from the past.
Let's go.
Thank you so much. This is a time for the retro take, a take from the past. This is coming to us from Yahoo Answers from the year 2012. The question asker asks, was that a super boring NBA trade deadline or what? And the best answer was, agreed. To me, the best trade was Monte Ellis to the Bucks. And also Nene to the Wizards. 2 weeks in a row mentioning Nene, by the way. Everyone thought Dwight Howard was going to get traded, and that was the reason to me that it wasn't so exciting. And then at the end of this answer, it says, it has a little dash, like it's a quote, and it just says, quote, Wiz Khalifa.
All right.
I'm not sure, because the picture for the question answerer is a bunch of Philly sports teams, and I believe Wiz Khalifa's from Pittsburgh.
Did he not make black and yellow?
He did make black and yellow.
I guess you could root for other cities teams, but
that's... this guy's username is highly capable. Maybe a pun. I gotta explore this a little bit. Wiz Khalifa might be a proud.
Now a friend of the show?
Exposed.
It's possible. About highly capable. Welcome to Khalifa's bio. Smiley face. Oh, man. Favorite teams. Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, Eagles, and Steelers.
Threw that in there to make it blue. I'm actually not. Is this more fun if it's Wiz Khalifa or if there's legitimately a person who answers Yahoo questions who's pretending to be Wiz Khalifa and that's like their whole thing?
It's like there's some things that we don't need to know everything behind it.
This is perfect.
You know, ignorance and bliss is bliss and all that. Like I like both ideas at play. Yep. Equally.
The rest of highly capable's profile includes favorite players, CP3, Allen Iverson, and Michael Vick.
Okay.
Exactly what Wiz Khalifa would say.
Hated players, LeBum James, a.k.a. Yeah. Mr. I only can score 12 points in the fourth quarter in the 2011 finals.
Yes! Bring it back! Bring it back.
Here's hey one guys, isolated check, performance.
Check this shit out. The other day, I wanted to get a drink from the vending machine, and I just had a dollar, and I ran into LeBron James. I said, "LeBron, can you give me some change for this vending machine?" And he could only give me 75 cents because he only had 3 quarters. Oh, yes, I went there. LeBrick James, I should say.
He's already dead. Stop it.
Can we go back to that trade? Can you read that trade over again, though?
Yes. Give me one moment. I am screenshotting Highly Capable's profile so I can save it into the archives.
Good. Just in case Wiz hears this and tries to delete it.
Yeah.
To me, the best trade was Monte Ellis to the Bucks and also Nene to the Wizards.
I don't remember this happening. I think it was Jay Crowder to the Wizards.
There he is, folks.
But we on
full circle
3-4 weeks in a row on that joke. Let's see.
That's our retro take for the week, fellas.
We have any other takes or anything else to discuss?
I think we're good. I think we're trying to come in soon, trying to get some guests for everybody. We got some ones that we're trying to line up that we're pretty excited about.
Yep, and we'll have some returning guests. And they'll be here with higher recording quality this time.
Oh, yeah.
And
I might even prepare for them to be here this time, which would be wild.
Yeah, we might have some questions prepared for them.
What do you think this is, a preparation podcast? Come on.
This is a takes podcast, damn it.
This is
all about takes from the heart.
No facts, opinions only, no credentials. Anyways, we have fun plans coming up and fun guests. New and returning. It'll be good, but let's get into our thinker of the week. So our thinker, I just go and find something that we'll just be thinking about over the week. Just a random tweet. Lately, I've been finding them from NBA players. This week, I went into the tweet history of Tobias Harris. As
Ooh.
You know, he's relevant this week. Big trade. He has a lot of tweets and. I should preface this with, this is not an endorsement of this tweet.
Uh-oh.
Like most. This was on 10-10-11.
I don't know what this tweet's going to be, but I'll endorse it.
Oh, God.
Just me.
It's just questionable language that a lot of people don't like, and I see why. Anyways.
Starting to regret endorsing this.
6:20 p.m. Tweeted from BlackBerry. You know a female sexy when you know her first, middle, and last name. Hashtag facts.
All right, I endorse that.
that's
Joe, do you know your wife's first, middle, and last name?
I do. I will disclose them off air.
Do.
Sounds like it's going to work out over there. Congrats.
The only part I don't endorse is from BlackBerry.
This tweet is just like, does that make them more sexy when you know their full name? Does it always mean something?
Something to think about.
I can't endorse it speaking as the Volcel member of the podcast, but I'm definitely thinking about it.
Well, all right. Well, that's our thinker. That's our episode. We'll be back next week. Next week, we'll be finally discussing the All-Star team roster. We'll get into the celebrity team. Make our case of why we should be there.
I've got some things to say about Chris Daughtry.
Oh, boy.
I've got some takes.
Joe has takes about Chris Daughtry every podcast, but this next one's going to be the first one where we actually let him talk about it because it's relevant.
Yeah, this is the first one I haven't
cut it out. Listen here, Daughtry. It's not over. That's a song by Daughtry.
Oh. I would have never known that.
I knew, I just didn't want to say.
It might
say.
Be. I might have made that up.
Just didn't want to say. Well, if you have any hot takes that you've seen online of your own or anyone else's, you can send them to us. You can just tweet it at us or I believe our DMs are open. You can tweet us at Full Court Mess. And if you have been enjoying the podcast, I hate to say this, but please subscribe. And if you want to review it, do that.
True that.
I endorse that.
And I end this with not just thinker, but an ESPN alert that I just received to my phone that Rondo beats buzzer to lift Lakers. So Rondo's making buzzer beater shots now. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.